Job chapter 1, and it's amazing how God always works things out, how God puts together messages and psalms and hymns and things of that nature, and all of almost every song that that the Lord laid upon Jameson's heart and the praise team's heart to sing this morning has something to do and something to touch on with the message that God's laid upon our heart this morning to deliver. It's called The Faith of Job. We want to talk about the faith of Job. For Father's Day, we talked about Abraham and the godly characteristics of a father, and we've seen that in Abraham, and Abraham is a man of faith and things of that nature. I want to look at the faith of Job today, the faith of Job, Job chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 1 through 12, and we'll see what God has to say to your heart and mind. We'll be all over Job, though, but we'll start there, and we'll carry on through there. So Job chapter 1. And the faith of Job. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we're so thankful, Lord, to be a part of a church that's excited about Jesus. Lord, what an amazing family of God to be a part of. What an amazing time to come here and to worship you, Lord, and to sing praises about you and the excitement, the Lord, in the music and the voices and things that are sung today, the Lord. And you were exalted. Your name was lifted up on high. And Lord, we just thank you for that excitement to be in your house. We thank you for the freedom of spirit that we have to worship here. To Lord. And Father, thank you for letting us come together at this time and that is set aside to sing praises to you, to worship, to read your word, to read your scripture. Father God, I pray that you defeat the devil, bind him up, cast him outside the service, the Lord, and keep the devil at bay. And Father, just let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to work in our lives, the Lord, and in the life of the church. And Father, in our community and folks that we come in contact, the Lord, let us open ourselves up and be used of you, the Lord. And Father, we thank you for what you're doing in here. We thank you for the souls being saved, the folks that are joining the church, and all the activities that go on here. Lord, we thank you for it. But we know that the devil can't stand that. And any opportunity he seizes, the Lord, he'll try to slip into that crack, the Lord, when there's a crack, and try to disrupt the bride of Christ. But Lord, again, we pray that you keep him at bay today and let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God work. Lord, so many people have called me this week traveling and want a special prayer for those that are on vacation and traveling today. Lord, we do pray for them, the Lord, that you get them safely to where they're going and bring them back safely to us, the Lord, and all the excitement through the summer and the long hours and folks traveling. Lord, we just ask you for your traveling grace and mercy upon them. And Lord, we do pray for that storm, Debbie, that's out there, the Lord, that you would take care of it, and Lord, that you would not let it get any bigger or any better than what it is, the Lord, and you can divert that thing out to sea and it'd be gone from here. And Lord, we just pray for those that are facing that situation in the storm today. And Father, that recalls me of Job, had he faced so many storms in his life. But Lord, he didn't lose faith. He didn't lose hope. He didn't lose sight on you, the Lord. And Father, I pray today that we can open up our hearts, open up our minds, the Lord. And Father, let us receive your word today. Not only just be hearers of your word, but be doers of it, the Lord. That we can apply it to our heart and apply it to our life and carry it out and share your word with a lost and dying world. Father, we're just going to thank you for what you're going to do. We give this service to you, the Lord, and ask that, Father, your Holy Spirit be evident, prevalent, and real here today. And Father, may your word go forward. May it cut where it needs to cut. May it pierce where it needs to pierce. May we be changed people, not the same as what we came in here as, but renewed and refreshed and revived when we leave here today. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Job chapter 1. In Job chapter 1 of verses 1 through 12, it says this. It said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect. That man was blameless and upright, the one that feared God and eschewed evil, shunned the evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she donkeys, and very great households, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings, according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Job put out a prayer for the folks. Job prayed for his family in case they did something that he didn't want God's charge against him. So Job prayed for them continually. It said, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Satan is among you. Wherever you at, Satan's seeking to destroy whatever God is doing and up to. It says they came to God, the sons of God came, present themselves before the Lord, and guess who showed up with them? Satan showed up with them. He said, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and one that escheweth evil, shuns evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doeth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. When I thought about the faith of Job, I thought about Abraham as we ministered about him and the father of faith. And I think about Job, and I think about the days that things come and trials happen and persecution comes and things of that nature. I think about this, the faith that Job had. If you're taking notes, number one, Job's faith in the days of prosperity. I'm going to touch bases on a lot of things about the faith of Job. But Job had faith in days of prosperity. The days when God was blessing him. The days that God poured out blessings upon Job. Job remained faithful to the Lord. He didn't forget where his blessings come from. He didn't forget it was God who sustained him. He didn't forget it was God that blessed him. It was God that gave him the bounty. It was God that took care of him. Sometimes I think in the world, in the days that we live in today, that we tend to forget our blessings and where they come from. I think people tend to forget. They give God the praise, the honor, and the glory for everything, for the highs, for the valleys, for the mountains, for it all. And I tend to think that we're so blessed in America that we forget that God's hand is upon us, that we forget where the blessings come from. I don't want us to forget that today. So if you're taking notes, number one, the Job's faith in the days of prosperity. Look at verse 8. It said, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth. He is perfect. He is a perfect man. He is a man that is blameless. He's a perfect guy, an upright man, one that fears God and one that shuns evil. You know, when I think about that, I think that Job was an amazing man. Isn't it amazing that a lot of times when things come up in our life, and even in Scripture in several different places, the disciples questioned Jesus when it comes to certain individuals being sick, when it comes to those, the blind man, and the disciples asked Jesus when he approached the blind man, they said, who did sin? This man's parents or him? And a lot of times in today's society, when things come upon people and you go through a lot of things in life and trials are coming and things are happening, a lot of people automatically think, man, you must have done something bad. God's a spanking you. He's a whooping you. Man, why would he do this to you? Why would he ruin your house? I just say this to me. You know, since February, I had to take my truck to the lofty mechanic, Steve, twice back there to fix it. And two different things. He fixed the first problem, I'll say that. And took it back to him and fixed the second one. It wasn't the first one that gave the problem. And then, you know, we had an old kidney stone flare up. The kids got sick. The house flooded. The insurance company wanted to play hardball. Tanya's mom was diagnosed with cancer. And so much and so forth. That, you know, I even had somebody say, who's sinning in your life? Is it you or is it your wife? I was like, what? Give me a break. I want to think it's like Job. I was an upright man. I was trying to do something right for the Lord, and God just said, let's pile it on him. Let's give devil permission to work on Pastor Tim. See, he's got how he's going to work with it. You know, and so lots of times people think because you're going through certain things, you must be sinning in your life. There must be something in your life that you're doing wrong. Well, it's not necessary. It might be that God is doing that to you so that you can come out on the other side, remain positive through the whole thing, so that you can be a testimony to somebody else and that they seen what you went through and you didn't take your eyes off Jesus. And so that he can get the honor and the glory, just as Job was blessed more so in the latter part of his life than he was in the beginning. God allowed all that to happen to prove his power and demonstrate that he was God and he was in control the situation. And so we see that Job's faith in a day of prosperity, even though he was blessed, God blessed him. He said not only in verse 8, but he said in verse 1. Again, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect. He was upright. He was blameless, upright, and the one that feared God and shunned evil. And then we see in verse 8 where Satan had to get permission to come against Job because Job was a child of the king. Job was a child of God. And anything that happens to you and me, you know, it's just onslaught attacks from Satan. But I think all the time, man, I must have been doing something right. You know, old Satan had to go get permission from the Lord to allow all that to happen. He had to go get permission from him to allow that to happen. You know, and I thank the Lord, what a testimony that is. You know, to think of it from that aspect. Man, these attacks are coming. These onslaughts are coming. Why? Because you're doing something profitable in the ministry. Woo! Glory to God! That's something we're shouting about. You know, he's bringing us all on. Why? Because you and I are obviously doing something profitable in the ministry. You know, so Satan's got to try to do anything and everything he can do to rob that joy from you and me. He's got to do everything he can and wants to do to try to rob that joy and make us miserable individuals, make us the world we ain't happy, and we got to be cranky all the time and point out flaws in everybody and point out flaws in the pastor and point out flaws in the church. It's amazing, but I got news for them that do that. There's three fingers and a thumb coming back at them. Amen. Amen. You know, that's nothing more than Satan. Rick, go open that door so I can give him a boot right out the slap of the front door. You know, you got to draw a line somewhere and say, that's enough. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me in the name of Jesus. Use what Jesus used on Satan. Get thee behind me. It is written. It is written, Satan. Oh, listen, the days, Job's faith. In the days of prosperity, he didn't lose hope. He didn't lose sight. He remained faithful to the Lord. Number two, Job's faith in the days of adversity. There's going to be prosperity that comes in your life. There's going to be adversity. Anytime we live in this life, and this life is full of sin, folks, and you trying to live a godly life for the Lord, understand there's going to be adversity. There's going to be things that come against us, things that happen. And Job's faith in the days of adversity, look at 1 and verse 20 and 22. It said this. It said, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly, or blamed him. There's going to be adversity that comes up in your life and my life. And we can see Job, when that adversity came, what did he do? He got on his knees, and he worshiped the Lord. He didn't blame God for it coming on him. He didn't charge God because of things foolishly that were happening to him. He said, he blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, and he gave the Lord that. He said, naked came out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job didn't sin, nor charge God foolishly. We can learn from that. So many times, attacks and adversity come our way, and sometimes we want to throw in the towel, and we want to blame God. We want to curse him for the things that we're going through and things of that nature. We need to understand God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter. He's never done me nothing but good. And we need to understand that we need to seek him. We need to worship him. When adversity came to Job, when adversity came to him, what did he do? He didn't tuck tail and run. What did he do? He got on his knees before the Lord. He bowed down before him when it come upon him. And he worshiped God. He gave God the honor, the glory, and the praise. He said, thank you, Lord. I understand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God giveth and he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to worship you, Lord. It doesn't matter what's coming around. It doesn't matter about adversity. It doesn't matter what's happening. I'm going to worship you, Lord. I'm going to worship you. We can learn something from Job. When we face in those situations and adversity comes to us, praise him. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. Bless His name. Praise the Lord. Worship Him. I can promise you, when you do that, your adversity won't seem like it's nothing at all. Your adversity won't seem like it's nothing at all. What you're going through won't seem like nothing at all. When you open up your heart, you praise Him, you worship Him, and you bless His name, somehow that adversity goes away. Somehow it's the least of your worries that you have to worry about. And Jesus said, bring them to the altar. Give them to me. Cast your care upon me, for He cares for you. He said, take upon my yoke and lean on me. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Give it to the Lord. If you're going through something and adversity is coming up on you, give it to the Lord. Worship Him. Praise Him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He giveth and He taketh away. That's how it is. Bless His name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, Job's faith in the day of adversity. He worshiped the Lord. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He didn't blame the Lord. He didn't blame the Lord for what happened. My friend, sin entered into the garden through Adam and Eve, not through the Lord. Not through the Lord. They caused all this. You want to blame something? Blame them. You women want to blame somebody for your childbirth and pains? Blame Eve. Your men want to blame somebody because you got to work? Blame Adam. That's scripture. That's who you blame. Don't blame your brother and sister in Christ because they ain't done nothing to you. Blame who the blame goes on. It's sin in the garden. That's where it started for. It started with, praise the Lord, Job's faith in the day of adversity. He worshiped God. He blessed the Lord, and he sinned not, and he didn't charge and blame God foolishly. Number three, the faith of Job. Job's faith in affliction. Job's faith in affliction. And in Job 2, in verse 7 through 8, said this. It says, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord. So Satan had to go before him again to say and do whatever he had to do with Job. He says, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Not only this, not only was there a time of adversity, but here we see that Job was afflicted. Job was afflicted with a disease. Job was afflicted with sore boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. I can't even imagine. I've seen people with one boil, and they cry like a baby. Them things hurt. Them things are big. When you get them things out, man, it leaves a hole like that in you, man. Them things hurt. I can't imagine be covering from the sole of your feet to the top of your head with the things. And here he was, affliction come upon him. He was struck with the boils. He had things all over his body. I'm sure that it caused him excruciating pain. And affliction, you and I will go through that. Affliction will come. Woo, let me tell you, if you ever had a kidney stone, you'll think somebody's about to kill you. Them things hurt. I'm telling you, man, I felt like I was having twins then. Oh, they hurt. I'm telling you, they hurt. And I'm sure you've had some form of sicknesses come upon you, some form of affliction that has happened. And in those times, it's painful. It hurts. It doesn't feel very well. But we understand Job had this come upon him, but he did not turn his back on the Lord. He did not lose faith in Him. He did not lose sight in the Lord. He did not stray away from this. It said it smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. And he took a potsherd and scraped himself and sat down among the ashes. Job's faith in affliction did not waver. Number four, Job's faith in opposition. Job's faith in opposition in that same chapter, verse 2. Let's look at 9 and 10 now. It said in this, it said, then said his wife unto him, doest thou still retain thine integrity? She's saying, after all this, I've sit here and I've seen you just been, just had boils just pop up from the sole of your feet to the top of your crown. I see all this stuff. And then in the next verse, she says this, then said his wife, doest thou still retain thine integrity? She said, won't you cuss God and die? But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaking. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. In all this, he still didn't sin. He faced opposition. He faced people telling him, man, if I had all that going on in my life, if I just lost all my cattle, if I lost all my job, and I lost everything else, and these boils popped up all over me, man, I don't know. I would just cuss God and die. Won't you get out of here? And people, you know, come up to us and say, man, you're just going through all this stuff. Man, there's so much opposition on you. Man, are you just going to throw in the towel or what? You know what? Jesus never gave up on me. Why am I going to give up on him? He never done me nothing but good. He didn't give up on me when I was weary, when I was wayward, when I was a sinner, not living for him. He still died for me. He told me in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love towards me, in that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He died for me. He tells me, you know what, when I stumble and I trip and I fall, he tells me about 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Here was a time of opposition. And Job's wife said, won't you curse God and die? He said, no, you talk like a foolish woman. Shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall not receive evil? In this, Job did not sin with his lips. Number 5, Job's faith under false charges. Job's faith under false charges. In Job 23 and verse 10, it says this. It says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job feared when the people heard of this loss and affliction that they would not understand his case, but charge him with sin. I'll never forget, Brother Jim Andrews gave me that verse of scripture in Job 23:10 and shared with me his testimony about all that was going on when they were building a house and putting in a well and things of that nature. And every time it would fail, every time he tried, something would happen. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God will try you. He knows your way. He knows the way you would take. He knows what he's going to do. He knows that when he has tried you, you shall come forth as gold. When he has tried you, there's better days a coming. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes it might be a speck, and it's a long way away down that tunnel. But my friends, there's light at the end of it. God's got a better way. He's got a plan for you. He tries you, but he will bring you out and try you. And you shall come out on the other side as come forth as gold. Job feared that the people that heard of his loss and afflictions, they would not understand his case, but charge him and saying, he must have done something wrong. There must be sin in his life. And I promise you, there are people today that does that to you and me. There's people today that see what you're going through and what I'm going through and what others are going through. And unfortunately, we'll sit there and draw a conclusion. You've been a bad boy. You've been a bad girl. Obviously, you done something wrong or you wouldn't be experiencing all this stuff. Well, turn it around and say, I'm obviously doing something right. And just like Job, God wanted to try me. And you wait around and look long enough. Because on the other side, I'm going to be coming out like a bunch of gold. I'm going to be like I done got in the gold mine somewhere. I might be in the copper zone right now, but I'm going to be in the gold later on. I got a mansion waiting for me. Woo, I got a mansion on the other side. It might be a cardboard box days right here, right now, but just hold on a little bit. Not that I want to brag or be arrogant or anything, but I love Jesus. Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and he's got a mansion prepared for me waiting on the other side, according to John 14:1-6. And I just want to tell you, that's pointing a finger, just hold on. Tell him, just hold on. Miss Karen, tell him, just wait. God got a mansion for me. Woo, just say, I might have a cardboard box down here. You're in the same shape I am. We both live in a double-wide trailer, and I know you're the queen of your house as well. Amen. Like my wife's the queen of mine. But just hold on. It might be double-wide here, but there's a mansion up there. Woo, just hold on a little bit. Things might be going on. Just hold on a little bit. He got a mansion waiting for me. He's got something on the other side that's a whole lot better than I got around here. Just whistle on. It's coming. And if you're in that situation, if somebody said that with you, say, just hold on. Wait until you see what God's got on the other side. Wait until you see. Thought I was going to slap him. Wait until you see what God's got on the other side. Did you see him? Wait until you see what God's got on the other side. He's got something planned for us. He's trying you. He's trying you. But you're going to come out smelling like gold. You're going to come out on the other side. Keep your faith like Job did. Keep your faith in him. Keep your faith like Job did. There's better days are coming. You might have a house you've been working on for 10 years. But there's a better day coming. There's light at the end of the tunnel. There's doors on the thing. There's lights over the head. There's a well in the ground. There's a septic tank out back, and we're living in the place. Woo! Glory! Glory! There's better days are coming. Better days are coming. Hang on. Hang in there. Keep your faith in the Lord. There's better days are coming. Better days are coming. Ah, number six. Job's faith in the dark. In Job 19, in verse 25 through 26, it says this. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Woo, my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Over and over, and I sin, there's coming a day when this body's going to be beat up, tattered, wore out, and down, and in a grave somewhere. If Jesus tears is coming, and worms might eat me up or whatever. But one day it says, yet in my flesh shall I see God. In that day, I think about a day coming. I think about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 42 and following, it says this. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it'll be raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it'll be raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it'll be raised in power. It is sown in a natural body, it will be raised in a spiritual body. These worms might eat me up, but it don't matter to me, because my body's going to come back together when Jesus blows that trumpet. Woo! It will be raised, my friend. It said in the so it is written that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, which is spiritual. That first man is of the earth. Earthly, it's going back to the dust. That second man is the Lord from heaven. And as the earthly such that they are earthly. And is the heavenly, such as they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. One day, this body's going to change. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither do corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall it be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory coming, my friends. We might have adversity. We might have issues and opposition and things here. This body might be consumed and ate up with something. I don't know. But all I know, just as Job said, my friend, my flesh shall stand before the Lord. We will stand before God. This body that is mortal will put on immortality. This corruption will put on incorruption. We will be changed in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye, and we will have a glorified body like an unto Jesus, and we will live for all eternity. Hold on. Keep your faith. It's closer now than it's ever been. Don't give up on the Lord. Stay strong in him. And the last one in verse 7, number 7, Job's faith vindicated in Job 42, 7 and 8. It says, we see in these verses here that the Lord turned the captivity of Job. When did he turn it? When he prayed for his friends. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. The Lord blessed him in the latter end of Job more than in the beginning. In Job 42, 7 through 8 says this, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job have. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall what? Pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me in the things which are right, like my servant Job. And then in Job 42:10, he says this. He said, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he did what? Prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And in Job 42 and verse 12 says, and the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke oxen, and 1,000 she donkeys. God blessed his latter end. But in all that we read, what did Job do for his friends? He did what? He prayed for them. He prayed for them. When you're facing, Jameson, you guys can come. When you're facing adversity, you're going to face it. God, understand, Job remained faithful. And Job's faith remained strong when he was prospering. He didn't forget where the prosperity come from. He didn't forget who took care of him. And Job remained faithful. Job remained faithful in the days of adversity. Job remained faithful in affliction. Job's faith in opposition, he remained faithful. Job had faith under false charges, he remained faithful. Job had faith in the darkest of the days, he remained faithful. And Job, because of his faith, was vindicated, and God poured out the blessings upon him. Oh, listen, we need to learn something from that. We need to learn, my friend, that we can have faith in God and should have faith in him on the mountaintop as well as in the valley. God is with us. And hang in there. It don't matter what's coming. If you remain faithful to the Lord, he's going to take care of you. You remain faithful to him, he's taking care of you, folks. Remain faithful to the Lord. Oh, maybe you're here, maybe you're going through those things right now. I will hope this message has encouraged you to remain faithful. Remain faithful. There's brighter days on the other side. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Remain faithful to him. Maybe you're here and you've never been saved. You come. I shared you in the scripture what you must do to be saved. He said in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call upon him today? Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. We would love to be your home. I'd love to be your pastor. Whatever it is that God's laying up on your heart, will you be obedient to follow the will of God? Maybe you need to come to the altar and pray about something. I'll pray with you. Our altars are open to you. Come and spend some time with the Lord and give it to him. Ask him to lead you, guide you, direct you, hear and answer your prayers. Pray for us as a church family. Pray for me as your pastor. Pray for us as a church family. Pray for VBS and all the activities that go on here, that God will be honored and glorified in everything we say and do.